2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Working together after school, students from the Utah Schools for the Deaf and Blind have built a catamaran of two 40-foot canoes attached together. They call themselves the USDB Yacht Club, and their boat is called All Hands on Deck.
You know, there's a lot to learn about, like, the boat, what goes into it, being able to say, you know, I built that, I know what went into that. And then once you get it out on the water, it was really cool to actually see it float and work well.
Landon and the crew, including Brandon, Noah, Casey, Ashton, Alexis, Benjamin, and Adam, took the boat to Lake Powell recently to try it out.
All right, starting position.
14 students and teachers paddling together.
Remember when we first got in, we were going in circles?
So we had to, like, switch places in the middle of the lake, climbed over the beam, and fell down and tried to catch myself with my sprained wrist.
I see him paddling with one arm. We're a good, like, 15, 16 miles in. He's paddling with one arm.
Program director Ryan Green says some students have different levels of vision loss. Others have different levels of hearing loss. They worked out communicating together while building the boat, and now they're working out communicating while paddling.
We rely a lot on the caller, but we rely on a lot of each other to know, like, what we're doing, I guess.
So watching the two people in the front and trying to match up with their stroke was very, very, very helpful for me.
You know, when I was sitting behind Alexis, I would tap her shoulder each time that we'd switch, just kind of as a, you know, we're switching now. I mean, that kind of seemed to help.
You know, I didn't realize, you know, how dependent we are on each other. I mean, your body's hurting and you still are enduring and you still have to keep going. You have to have the correct mindset.
It didn't occur to me that often that there was such a difference between, like, my vision and their hearing. We all have learned so many ways to make up for it and still communicate with each other and become friends with each other, because that always came first.
They'll enter the 70-48 race the evening in June 4th and have 48 hours to paddle across Puget Sound.
I want every single person on this boat with me after to look at any other mountain they have in their life and go, it can't be as hard as the 70-48.
While they're in Washington, they plan to visit the Husky Clipper. It's the wooden boat that won the 1936 Olympics in Berlin and inspired the book The Boys in the Boat. This crew sees similarities with that story of overcoming great odds but cementing lifelong friendships. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.